Please be advised that this program is being monitored to ensure compliance with Canadian broadcast codes and regulation.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
It's JP, in solidarity with you gentlemen, of course, because, of course, I've been listening to the International Connection for some time now. You gentlemen have on the air said quite publicly, and this is one of the reasons I love listening to the show, is that you're both atheists, saying, well, these boys are making some good points. You guys are experts. I need to, you know, touch base with
you.
Keep up the good work, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome to my show. I'm Ron Anisich. This show is called The Bitter End.
This program contains scenes with nudity, sexuality, violence, and coarse language. Viewer discretion is advised.
It's getting to be goddamn ridiculous.
Doctor, in the name of the Second Scotland Empire, went into the complex. But of course, all according to plan, the Nyman will take care of him. Goodbye, Doctor.
Welcome to the International Connection. Today we continue with the series called The Ultimate Evil with Dave Emery and Nip Tuck. That's the International Connection for this week. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for more of the series called The Ultimate Evil with Dave Emery and Nip Tuck. I'm Bob Marshall for CKLN.
And we're on here, Bob. This one don't work, so nothing's going right here, you know. It's a death knoll.
Yeah, we're getting close to the Exodus reading on death,
yeah.
Which is in 2 weeks, Kent's last show, finale of the finales. Okay, tonight we feature...
Skolnick tonight.
Just Skolnick for an hour or so.
Yeah, just Skolnick for an hour.
Talking to Mae Brussel and Tom Rich and Bob Marshall and Adam Vaughn. This was a broadcast on the International Connection about September 26th or so.
But we're going to have that intro with Adam Vaughn coming in.
No, we won't have that intro because this is not journalism. Oh, you set it up to have the intro?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
But this is not meant to be journalism. This is just purely what? We want, consider it has music under it. It has music under it so that it's not journalism because we're not allowed to be journalistic at this hour, right?
That'll do it.
Yeah. That'll do what?
Put it out as entertainment.
This is entertainment.
Ear candy.
Ear candy, yeah. This is not to be taken seriously. This is just a bunch of people worrying about Larry McDonald and the Western Goals Organization and the KAL accident in 83. And this was broadcast at the end of September 1985. So we're talking 5 years ago.
Just keep pen here, bud.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at the pen while this is broadcast. We ourselves will not be listening to this because we have more important things to do. We know we have many more important things than this. But there are many people who haven't heard this, and they'll find it good candy. Mm-hmm. So let's hope they tape it because it's worth preserving. And Candace set it up. Here's some ancient voices.
International Connection. We're joined by a conference call from Chicago and San Francisco. Mae Brussel and Sherman Skolnick are with us today. We're going to discuss a variety of issues. Bob, perhaps you can introduce them.
Well, Mae Brussel went to Larry Flynt because of his ad in the New York Times about the KAL007.
Good morning and welcome to the International Connection. Well, this being the last Sunday of the month, we're joined again for our regular discussion with U.S.-based activist and political researcher John Judge. Good morning, John.
Hi, how are you, Rick?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for joining us once again on the International Connection.
Okay, Wayne. I can't hear you, Wayne.
There we go. Okay.
Okay. There's something very odd going on, Wayne. Not just with the sound. Can you hear me, Wayne?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
I'm
but anyways,
you.
Let me talk
okay,
to the people.
There we go.
Okay.
I'm in full stereo now.
Something very strange going on. My headphones are burning my ears, or my ears are burning my headphones. I don't understand this. There's little, you know, soft pads, but they're burning me. Now, the only thing I can sort of speculate on the cause
of this... smoke coming out of your ears, Bob.
Yeah, there's something happened here, and I think the only reason is the only thing that I've done different before any other show, you know, this show. The only thing I've done different, I've never done this before, is that tonight Connie and I made love just before the show, and you and Haley, Wayne, probably smelt the spermatozoa on my pants when I came in. But I'm just wondering, is having sex, you know, causing my ears to blow out through the electric discard estate? I don't know. That's the only new thing that could have happened to change the circumstances there. Oh, anyways, what is Bob, Wayne? That's the question. What is Bob?
Yeah, do we have a fire extinguisher in the station? We better make sure.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's just very uncomfortable. But I'll never do that again. Connie, have to wait till Friday. All right? So what is Bob?
At least after the show.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, what is Bob? I got a definition. I came up with a definition. I think we can handle it.
You've tuned in to the International Connection. This morning we continue with Dave Emery's program about the killing of Joseph Daniel Casolaro, a journalist looking into the Inslaw case. Today he speaks with Virginia McCullough, a colleague of Danny Casolaro's. You're listening to CKLN.
Good morning. Welcome to the International Connection. And it's a very special show this morning. This is the beginning of a journey we're about to take on this program, a journey into a gruesome world of mind control experiments by government-financed doctors in Canada and the United States. Inhuman experiments performed on humans, children for the most part. For the next 8 months, on the International Connection, we will be airing interviews with survivors of mind control experiments and ritual abuse, lectures and interviews with therapists, researchers, and writers who are dealing with the legacy of mind control. Specifically, we'll be looking at the documented history of U.S. CIA and military mind control experimental programs. Also, the struggles of survivors to get compensation from the CIA and Canadian government, in particular for the government-funded mind control experiments at McGill University under Dr. Ewan Cameron. We'll be hearing the accounts of survivors of horrific experiments involving electroshock, drugs, brain implants, sensory deprivation, psychic driving, forced sleep, ritual and sexual abuse.
CKLN is rebroadcasting a groundbreaking radio series, Mind Control in Canada, currently airing on the Sunday morning show, The International Connection. Starting June 2nd on alternative radio, Monday nights from 10 to 11 p.m., the eight-month radio series Mind Control in Canada will be aired.
Good morning and welcome to another International Connection. And this is actually our last show in our radio series on mind control, which has been running almost a year now on this time slot. And today we're going to be finishing off the whole series with a panel discussion on government and military mind control. Last week we had a panel on the ritual abuse aspects of mind control, and this week we're focusing on the history of government involvement in developing mind control.
Good morning and welcome to the International Connection here on CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. We're also heard internationally on the World Wide Web at http://ckln.sacryerson.ca. I'm Greg Duffel filling in this week for our soon-to-be-departing regular host, Wayne Morris. Wayne will be back next week for what we hope will be a special installment of the International Connection.
1-866-543-2101. Go.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, Canada.
Next, the International Connection in color.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
I saw the pictures the first time on the Dan Rather video show.
I think we should keep it real.
Good morning and welcome to the International Connection.
Wow. So much history.
You just heard our legacy, where we come from, right, where this show was, and where it got to.
For how many years?
At best count, the International Connection has been on for all of 20 years.
Wow.
Here on CKLN, one of the longest running programs on this station.
Probably in radio even as well, on many, many radio stations. The Toronto haven't lasted that long.
Sure. At least a Gibbon show won't last for 20 years.
The first time on the Dan Rather video show.
It was a different time. Some of the people you heard in those clips are no longer with us. They're dead. Mae Brussel, one of the greatest journalists of all time.
Out of Vaughan.
If we wanted to call her that, I think she transcended the word journalist.
Suspicious death.
Suspicious death?
Suspicious death.
Yeah.
Fire.
Strange house across the street. No, yeah. She died of cancer.
Oh, cancer.
Yeah. What happened with Mae Brussel was that she died of cancer. Bob Dobbs will appear with us later today. He may be able to correct me on this, but Mae Brussel died of cancer. And but the weird thing was that the house across the street was occupied by strange individuals that moved equipment in. There were strange goings on across the street. Then the day after Mae Brussel died, the house burns down, and all evidence of whatever went on in there was gone. So there had been suspicions about the death of the great Mae Brussel. She may have had to pay for giving insights to people, as she gave to me. The International Connection was a program, as I said, broadcast in a different time. What the International Connection did 20 years ago would be near on impossible for us to do today. A lot of the items that we do, a lot of the things that we talk about, really are in the mainstream. You just have to look very, very closely for them. And you have to interpret what you're seeing in the mainstream. These people that we see, these fascists, are actually very open. Hitler was pretty open about what he was doing too at times. And if you just got to hear it, or you could interpret it, you might know. In the 80s, it was a different time, in my opinion. There was a lot of subterfuge.
Potential for laws.
And there were people operating in the background, as I suppose there are today, but there were people operating in the background, like you, Michael Ledeen's and Gaffney's and so on, that are out in the open now. They figure it's better to operate out in the open because no one will be able to say that the signs weren't there of what's going on today. They're going to say, oh, we were open and transparent. Like the Project for a New American Century. Oh, we laid it all out for you. It was right on the Internet. Trilateral Commission, same thing. Oh, we've got a website. You can go and get all the information you want. Of course, their decisions are private, but their operation is open, just so that it can be said that they were being transparent.
And without the international connection in the 80s there to give the Toronto community discussion of these individuals, talking about these individuals, people like Mae Brussel and Dave Emery and Bob Marshall sitting around talking about the airplane crashes that happened, the terrorism attacks that occurred, wars that were going around, special meetings. Without that, people wouldn't have known.
Speaking of that, Daniel, I'm just going to give some breaking news now. Here on the International Connection, there are 121 people dead in a Greek air crash. This from CNN.com. A Cypriot plane with no sign of life in the cockpit as it approached Athens has crashed into a mountain, killing all 121 people on board. F-16 pilots escorted the Boeing 737 after air traffic controllers lost contact with the jet Sunday and said the pilot was not in the cockpit and the co-pilot was slumped over the controls. Boeing pilots had reported an air conditioning problem, and Greek TV said a passenger sent a text message to his cousin saying it was freezing in the plane. It appears as if all the people on the plane might have frozen to death first. So that is that's the news, breaking news. Now we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program. So,
and the International Connection discussed in its history about airplane crashes, like the ones that happened in and around Russia, the one that happened, I think, in Korea. Many times these airplane crashes, as the International Connection found out and investigated, were actually for political purposes. They had individuals that were either on the planes or they were doing some sort of surveillance or to cover up another bigger story that we should have been paying attention.
One of the ones that jumps immediately to mind is the John Tower death in an air crash. And CKLN 88.1.
Yeah, and also that's what precipitated the Rwanda genocide with the plane crash.
That's right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And the International Connection has talked about these things in the past. And so what we're going to do today, partially, is we're going to discuss some of the beginnings of the International Connection. And I thought that really the long history of this 20 years of the International Connection, the most important parts are the moments between 1985 and the time that Greg arrived. So what I thought we would start off with is Greg's arrival here, and then we'll work our way backwards, I guess. And
I should tell everybody that the reason that we thought of doing this today and why this is probably going to be an unusual program is because this is the last show we're going to do from this headquarters that CKLN has been operating out of the entire time of its existence.
It all started here.
It all started down somewhere in these basement walls. I don't know specifically the place that we're actually broadcasting from at this very moment was in utilization over 22 years ago.
Yeah.
But the right next door to us, evidently, was the place where all of CKLN history has been made, where all the broadcasts pretty much were done from, and where all of the volunteers who put all of their time, those thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of volunteer work and love and fun and dedication to their particular genre that they were bringing to CKLN. And there was no program director coming in and saying that there was going to be a massive format change to CKLN that would affect every one of the volunteers that broadcast here, like happens at commercial radio stations. As you'll hear in some of the clips that we'll play today, there have been some major changes here. To think that this station has fossilized in any way over time. Many, many volunteers have come and gone. Shows have been on and disappeared.
Yeah.
The International Connection is somewhat of an exception, I suppose. It changed over time and with each host that it had.
And you'll hear some of that today.
Yeah. And so that's why we're doing this. This is our very last program down here at our studios. And it's while we're excited about moving into the new operation and trepidatious because it's all new for us, we've got a lot to learn about being in a new space with, for most of us, new equipment and or different equipment than we're used to operating with. Let's say here this morning, right in front of me, the board that I'm using right now, I'll probably not be using over at the new headquarters. So
that's why we're now nostalgic,
yeah,
for what's gone on here. And when this place gets, I guess, taken over by the back by the university, the history of what the people that were involved in this program, the International Connection, where they were, the environment will disappear for them. And
you won't be able to come back and say, here's where we did that show.
Here's where we started.
I remember when Bob Dobbs came back here in 2001, in September of 2001, and our program director was nice enough to give me a call at home and tell me that Bob Dobbs was going to be here. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And do a show with Jerry Belanger. And I'm glad I picked up his call partway through the show. I got on my bicycle and rode down after the show, and I met Bob for the first time. And he was reminiscing with, I think Dave Neufeld was here, who yeah. was one of the people who started the International Connection and now is a big music producer of the name of the social scene, Broken Social Scene. That's the name of the group. It's sort of an amalgam of a bunch of musicians here in Toronto and that have put out a record, which has been very successful, evidently, and good for Dave Neufeld. Dave Neufeld was a...
You met him, too?
I met him here, too, and yeah. Bob and Dave were reminiscing about what went on in the... what we knew as the production studio, which for them was the on-air studio, this extremely
right.
cramped...
Tiny.
I mean, very, very tiny, hot...
Room.
Room. I think it was alluded to in one of the clips we heard earlier, how hot it was, wasn't it?
I think so.
And...
Bob was talking about how his ears were burning.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean... there have been people complaining about the rooms that they're sitting in here. I mean, this is luxury
it's
compared to having to hang out in the production room for 2 hours. But in saying that,
no,
we
for
have
an
a,
hour.
For an hour.
Remember the
or half an hour. Half an hour.
Also, over time, the International Connection has changed in terms of its timing. It started off as a half-hour program. It's moved to an hour. And sometime around just a few months after I arrived, time started to change. And the show has grown to, I think it... At our height, we had 3.5 hours, but now we're at 2 hours. So let's go back. Let's roll the clock back to April 23rd, 2000. This is your host, Greg Duffel's first, as far as we have recorded, on-air intro to the International Connection radio show.
Good morning and welcome to the International Connection here on CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. We're also heard internationally on the World Wide Web at http://cklin.sacryerson.ca. I'm Greg Duffel, filling in this week for our soon-to-be-departing regular host, Wayne Morris. Wayne will be back next week for what we hope will be a special installment of the International Connection. I'll whet your appetite by giving a few details at the conclusion of today's program.
And here's how Greg whet our appetite.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're planning a special show for next week to mark the last regular appearance as host of Wayne Morris. Wayne will reflect on his stewardship of the program over the last decade and tell us about his future plans. I hope also to have a small retrospective of the last 15 years or so of the International Connection. All in all, it should be an interesting program. That's all for today's show. I'm Greg Duffel, filling in for Wayne Morris. I look forward to you tuning in next week here on the International Connection. On CKLN.
That Greg, is you 5 years ago.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Look how far you've come.
I know. I don't script anything anymore.
No. What was it like?
I used to have to write out everything, Daniel. When I first came in here, it was a different board than I have sitting in front of me now. More limited, I would say, in what it could do, and more confusing. When I first took on the job of coming in to do the International Connection, Wayne was, I guess Wayne knew he was a lame duck. I don't think he told anybody here, but he knew he wasn't going to be doing the show much longer, and he'd done his Mind Control radio series, which was his magnum opus, I guess you'd say. And he was putting, I suppose, less time into the program, and he was playing Counterspins, which had been played on the International Connection over some period of time. I have recordings going back to the early 90s when Wayne was playing the Counterspin program, the program made by FAIR,
right.
Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting in New York City. And when I heard that over the air, Wayne announced he was leaving, and as far as I know, he didn't tell anybody else. He told the community that he was leaving. I was asleep in my bed, and I thought, well, what's going to happen to the show?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I live fairly close to the station, and okay, well, I won't be lying in bed, but I can just come in and put in the CDs and say something, and then sit down for half an hour, and I'll be listening in a radio studio, and it'll be like I'll be awake, and it'll be like the show will continue the way it has been. That's how I knew it at that point. I mean, I knew about the Bob era and so on.
Yeah.
He mainly played Dave Emery material.
How long did that last of you playing Counterspin?
That didn't really last that long.
You got kind of ambitious.
Something would happen. Like, I remember I went up to the Organization of American States conference, or the Summit of the Americas, or it was in Windsor,
mm-hmm.
and where they put a fence around Windsor to protect these criminals that are the governments of the various countries in our hemisphere. So I went up and I bought a mini disc because I figured I'm going to need some recording equipment. So I went out.
You're doing a radio show.
I'm doing a radio show. Yeah. I'm going to need something to record things with. Yeah, and really the station didn't have anything. And if they did have something, you'd have to go and book it out and, it was a hassle. I mean, chances are you're going to want to go, okay, I'm going to leave home and I'm going to go and record this thing. I mean, you needed your own recording equipment. So I went and I bought a mini disc and a microphone. I dropped a few $100 and I thought, well, that's the investment that you have to make in the show.
Right.
And
really? Do I have to do that?
You haven't done it yet.
Uh-huh.
You just complain I'm not in the same area as you when you're doing something. So So I would go out and record things. I think before I could figure out my mini disc, how it worked, I took a video camera out and I recorded audio on video camera. I think some of that stuff I never even transcribed, very little of it, but I've been meaning to do that. And so the show changed dramatically when I would go out and record speeches and
then you'd play them back on the air.
Then you'd edit them up and play them back. Ralph Nader.
Would you sometimes do commentary, or would it just?
That started later. I think there was a program. For the most part, I played speeches. I kind of did the show, really the way that other CKLN programmers do it, and to a large extent the way that Wayne Morris was doing it,
right.
And.
You were more of a producer role rather than a hosting role. It wouldn't be the show of host Greg Duffel. It would be show of International Connection featuring the following speech, for example, and you would kind of produce that speech.
Yeah, sometimes I might go out and when Clinton came to Toronto and was at the Hummingbird Center, right. And the Serbian people came out and protested him. I did on-the-street interviews with people. So that sometimes involved some editorialization by me.
Right. And from there...
And then...
That kind of increased at that point.
Yeah, I think that the first show that I did that is kind of similar to what we do today is when...
Isn't your FunFest show?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Your first FunFest show in October of 2001... Is your first...
Actually, 2000.
Sorry, 2000. Sorry,
yeah.
2000. Is the first time you pull together sound effects.
Have you got a clip of that, Daniel?
No.
Oh. No. Yeah, I was very ambitious, but I had very little equipment to do it with. And I didn't really understand computers all that well, and even the computers that we had here at the station. I didn't realize I could run material off the computer. So I brought in my mini disc, and I'd have things numbered, and I'd have things written down on paper, and like everything was written out on paper. Everything
like
that I was going to do.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, the preparation for it the night before was just crazy. I'd be up typing out numbers and going, and then you know I'd have to be talking and trying to find bits on my mini disc machine, and I really have a hard time. Like I think I've heard a lot of males do in doing two things at once, and So thank you, Tanya. And so to add to that, we would have problems here at the studio that I could never figure out. And I ended up at the beginning. I used to bring in a mixer because I figured that it had to plug through the mixer. The mini disc would have to go through the mixer before it could be heard on the air. And so I'd bring in all this equipment just in case. I'd bring in tons and tons of wires. And
I remember those early days, your backpack would be full of wires and material as you would sit there and you would rewire basically just for your program to kind of get ready for the show.
Yeah.
And
then I realized I didn't need to do that, and I could never figure out why I thought I needed to do it in the first place, because I'd just run into some problem, and then I'd got over that problem. And there were... To get a mini disc on the air was a bit of a major undertaking, really, and there were lots of barriers to that. And in a sense, I guess even in the studio today, it's difficult to get a mini disc up and running. In the new studio, it'll be a little bit easier. Unfortunately, mini discs are obsolete today, to a large extent.
So you went from a show where you'd maybe spend 5 minutes writing a script for your intro and your extro and playing a counterspin to a point where you were spending a few hours a week
easily
on the show.
Yeah, easily I would spend 8 hours. I remember talking to Daniel, because I met Daniel when we were protesting the Yugoslav war. And I'm sorry if I'm going over things that I've gone over before.
No, hold on. Let me do my intro.
All right.
Here we go to...
Actually, before you do that, Daniel, it's before that.
All right.
In 2000, it might have been in 2000... And I had started doing the show, and I don't think I'd really been that vocal amongst the people that I knew that I was doing this program. And
you knew me at that point.
I knew Daniel because I knew his aunt, and who because we were all protesting the Yugoslav war, and I met his aunt, who I'd worked with. In the mid-1970s, when she came to this country, when she first came to this country. So she then introduced me to her whole extended family, and Daniel was part of that. And I was invited to Daniel's parents' house for some lunch or something. And
you talked about the radio show.
And I said, and Daniel was very curious about the radio show, and he was saying, and he was... less curious than telling me what I should do, demanding that I do things, you know, like saying, well, you need a website, and you need to take calls, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and
actually, it transpired on the air. Shall I get to some of these clips? I mean,
really?
It happened on the air.
Okay.
Here we are. So I speak with Greg about this show, and so Greg invites me down. Here is June 10th, 2001, my very first appearance. I've never done radio prior to this moment. At that point, I was a biologist. I still am, technically. Here I am, introduced by Greg on June 10th, 2001.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Connection. I'm Greg Duffel, and I'm here with you for another hour of all kinds of political machinations of the ruling elite are going to be exposed here today, as usual. And with me in the studio is Dan Besharat. And hello, Dan. How are you? Speak into the mic and introduce yourself.
Good morning, Greg. I'm doing quite fine, actually. I woke up this morning. I was pretty happy, but then I opened the newspaper, and we all know what that's like sometimes.
Well, I didn't bother to do that this morning. I felt it just wasn't worth the bother, you know?
Yeah.
With the chemistry we have,
but,
Greg.
But Dan is kind of an old war buddy of mine in the sense that we, a couple of years ago, during the what was called by the mainstream press the Kosovo conflict, which is really, what is that really called?
The Yugoslav war, the aggression on Yugoslavia.
Right.
You know?
Of course, we didn't want to call it a war, did we?
No,
Gretchen didn't want to call it a war.
It cost lots of money to call it a war.
Here is you, Greg, commenting that I want people to phone into the program, and then I do a news story. This is my very first news story.
And you have to understand that the pattern of the International Connection up to that point, I don't maybe there had been some call-ins on the Wayne Morris last show of the Mind Control Radio series.
Last two series.
He opened up the lines. But I think other than that, the idea of having a call-in show, which I thought was a little mainstream. That had not existed. And also, I thought, when Daniel had mentioned it to me in 2000, I thought, you know, I got an hour. I've only got an hour.
Yeah.
If I open up the phones, the hour's gone. I mean, there's no more information going on. We're just hearing from callers, potentially. Or, what if no one phones in at all?
And here's what you said on the air, June 10th, 2001.
Anyway, Dan's here for the summer, but and he may show up on the show maybe a few times. Anyway, he's always talking to me saying we should do a phone-in show. And I say, you know, it's very difficult for me to organize a phone-in show, only being here on my own and given the situation we have here with the phones. But today we're going to try it. So, 416-595-1655, a rare opportunity to phone in to the International Connection. And Dan, start with your first news story.
Thanks, Craig.
Is it going to be about abortion?
Well, as I said, I woke up pretty happy, but then I got depressed when I opened the newspaper. It turns out that in the Netherlands that there's a boat taking off going to Ireland to pick up some women seeking to end their pregnancies to international waters.
Listen to me.
Basically, the idea is that Irish laws forbid abortions.
I mean, at that point, do you know how scared I was when I first came on the air? I mean, I guess everyone goes through that, right? You know, you're sitting here. I mean, I remember when I first came to the studio. I mean, I'll just pause this for a second. The one thing the studio did for me that I liked was when you walk in, I mean, it looks like a bomb went off in here.
Yeah.
And I'm not insulting the place for that, but rather it kind of lowers the barrier to the idea that this is a radio station. You kind of walk in and you go, this is not a radio station. I mean, it's got microphones, but look at the place.
Yeah.
And
it's not intimidating.
Yeah, it's not intimidating. And so when you come on the air for the first time, and I listen to that.
And you didn't have to operate any of the actual equipment, right?
Not at that time.
So that can be intimidating. When you walk in and you see all of these buttons and you go, how am I going to deal with this? When you realize that you only have to press.
Like four of them at any given
time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you don't really have to do that much. And you don't have to know that much about the board.
Right.
It's not that bad.
Now, before I pulled myself, I thought I sounded a lot worse on the radio. I think I got worse, and then I'm slowly trying to get back to where I started off again. So I was very nervous at that time. These were my very first words. I had no experience on radio whatsoever. I still don't think I have any experience on radio. And really, I was actually wondering after the first show why Greg didn't throw me off. I'm thinking, I thought, wow, that went so badly. Why didn't he just boot me off? I'm still wondering why Greg doesn't boot me off, but here's a little more.
And they can't have it done within the country, so these women who don't have enough money will be seeking this help from this international volunteer organization taking off from the Netherlands. This will happen sometime next week. I don't know, I read the story and I got kind of upset thinking... That in a modern country today, that such as Ireland, that we completely ignore 51% of the population of women.
51% of the population of women.
Is it 51%?
No, I mean 51% of the population are women.
Are they?
So, well, I'm guessing.
Okay.
That's roughly in the whole world.
Yeah,
right?
I guess so.
I don't know. It's at some level, human rights have to be taken into account.
Hey, we were both doing things like Save the World stuff, huh?
Exactly. The first when I first went back to some of these clips, I was reminded about that Save the World mentality. But I realized very quickly that if no one is listening, you can't save the world. And so if no one's actually hearing your words, no one can be interested. Here are the final comments on the June 10th, 2001 show.
I'm going to play George Clinton and... it's sort of a song about spies.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Danny. And I think
we
the audience...
We
should. I'd like to do that again. It's very nice to have some company here in the morning.
And from that point forward...
There was company in the morning.
There was company in the morning.
Only when Daniel went back to school was there no company in the morning. Or when... Well, even when I was up in Montreal for that 9 month or almost a year... where I was coming back every couple of weeks and then doing sometimes the show from up there.
I'll play briefly just the first few moments of it, but this is the very first bit I did for this show. This is called the Ronald Reagan Death Watch. As soon as I came, within a couple of months, I wanted to
watch somebody die, and Ronald Reagan was still alive at that time in 2001, so I thought that I put together a small piece of material.
Seemed to be an eternity for him to die, didn't it?
Yeah, it took a while. My theme lasted quite a while.
Yeah.
I called it the Ronald Reagan Death Watch theme. We were watching just before he died, so this is I'll play a brief moment of it. You've probably heard it on the show before. I've run it a few times. This is the first time I ever edited anything in audio.
Ronald Reagan. The truth is, directly affect you and your children's economic future. Or the precious gift that is America by tearing down that wall.
Don't fail me again.
A few lines of which do seem appropriate.
Don't make me destroy you.
I have exceeded my life expectancy by quite a few years.
Anyway, so it goes on for another 30 seconds, but that's the Ronald Reagan Death Watch theme, the first bit I ever put together for this show. And ever since then, it's been a complete downhill in bits.
Can I ask a question, Daniel, that's just come up on Java Chat right now?
Yeah, I can't go on Java Chat, but yeah.
Yeah, Daniel's unable to get on the Java Chat this morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Comrades Community Chat Portal, does someone have to download a Java applet to actually use that thing? Before they do it?
Okay, here's some tech talk.
Yeah.
All you need is the Java executive or executing runtime on your machine, which means that your web browser and your computer, your operating system, have to have Java in them. Now, most modern operating systems have it in them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you access it, the application runs on a server, and it just sends you little pieces of information to show you the screen. So you don't actually have to download an application. It runs automatically in that window when you click on it. So just make sure that you have Java runtime, which means that if you go to the Java website, if you put Java into your Google, it's a Sun Microsystems website, just make sure that you have what's called Java runtime for your operating system, and your browser should automatically hook into that and play or run the applet in that window.
Yeah, because Sydney Carton says that...
For the average user... You'll have no problem.
You should advise newbies. This is about the Comrades Community Chat Portal, which is available on our website called www.axisofevilradio.com. And the Comrades Community Chat Portal is a place where some people go to, like a little community. For instance, there this morning is E-Rule, Colonel Panks, Lang, Ramonsum, and Sydney Carton. They're regulars, except Colonel Panks... sounds like a new person, but that could be just a person with a new name, same person with a new name. But we have a regular crew that go there, but you're all invited, and you can meet the crew there if you're on a computer by going to www.axisofevilradio.com. And if you want to phone us this morning...
Oh, hold on. We're still on the website.
Sure.
Before we leave that.
Yeah.
A few things. The International Connection is now on a 15-day archive turnover, so it'll take 15 days from the show to be archived on the website for you to listen to. All shows from September 23rd, 2000 to today are in demand in public, or then public. What that means is that if there's any show that's not archived on the website that you want to hear, email the show at internationalconnection@rogers.com, and we will put the show up online for you and everybody else, like we do shows currently. Also, if you used to listen to the show on over a modem, or if you have family anywhere around the world or friends that used to listen to this show or this station, CKLN, over a modem, and you can't do it anymore because the CKLN stream doesn't work for you, guess what? They've changed it. There's now a low bitrate audio stream for modems and low-speed internet connections. And a reminder, all International Connection audio and video on our website is compatible with modem internet speeds. Also a reminder that FunFest, the collecting of money to fund this station, takes place at the end of October. Stay tuned for more information. And if you wish to call in with your memories of this station, CKLN, before we make our big move in 7 days to the new studios, call in here at 416-595-1655.
Actually, yeah, 595-1655. Sorry for interrupting you there, Daniel. The Actually, tomorrow is the day that we move over to the studio.
Right.
Sometime tomorrow, around 2.
2 p.m., CKLN will be broadcasting from the new place.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
Andy here.
Hi, Andy.
How are you doing, people?
Very, very good.
Very good.
Nice to see you last week, by the way.
Thank you for letting me sit in there for a brief hour.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All good stuff. Listen, you guys got a lot to talk about going down memory lane.
Yeah.
You guys go way back and that type of stuff. I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your show periodically and do traffic and weather off the balcony on Sunday mornings. Appreciate that.
Andy, you'll always be welcome on our show, no matter what.
Thank you very much for that. On another note, everything's under control here. I like listening to the early voices of you there. You sound like a Bill Cameron type fella there going back into your early starts, you know.
Well, you know.
A silky smooth voice, you know.
I just hope I don't die of cancer soon.
That's the idea. That's the idea. Gentlemen, for the last show in the dungeon, do you mind if I do traffic and weather for you?
No, I don't mind at all.
And traffic and weather is brought to you by Annie, myself, and the Russian Bear.
Thank you.
You know, the Russian Bear has been part of the show, too, these last year and a half, whatever's been happening here. Let's get out in the balcony right now with Annie smoking a cigarette out here. Currently 19 degrees, plus 19, the morning high of plus 20. It's overcast right now, and it is raining right now, folks, out here over the Don Valley Parkway. Rain is dropping down. It looks like a wet day, a damp day, a good day to stay indoors. The afternoon high is plus 24. The seasonal average for this time of year is plus 26. We're just below the average. The sunrise, believe it or not, was up at 6:22 a.m. It'll set at 8:23 p.m. The winds are northeast, 11 kilometers an hour. The Don Valley Parkway, everybody's hydroplaning their way down the Don Valley Parkway. You can see the water coming on the back of their cars southbound and northbound. They're hydroplaning all the way up the Don Valley Parkway also. You can't see the O'Connor Bridge right now because there is mist in the valley with the rain and that type of thing, but the traffic looks, what I can see, in good shape. Don Mills Road here at the Basket Weave, very lightly traveled early on a Sunday morning. Everything's under control here from our vantage point, 20 floors on top of the Don Valley Parkway. The current temperature, plus 19. The afternoon, plus 24. Rain throughout the day. Stay inside, do indoor activities. Or if you want to get wet, you have my permission to go out. On behalf of Annie, myself, and the Russian Bear, to all the people listening today, this is the last show in the basement, and we'll end it with these thoughts. These people have been in the basement for far too long. They have to get upstairs as soon as possible. Congratulations on the move. Good luck. Everything will work out. That's all for now. Let's go back to our regularly scheduled show.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Actually, I'd like to make a comment about Andy and the other listeners.
Yeah.
The International Connection audience, I found, this is the audience that listens to this program over time, since 1984 when this program began, is a dedicated, loyal, and very smart audience. You know, it takes guts to listen to this program. Whether you listen during the Bob Dobbs era of...
Bob Marshall era.
Bob Marshall era. Whether you were listening during Wayne Morris and the Mind Control radio series and the radio he did, or whether you're listening now, it takes some guts and courage to listen to radio that is truly alternative. It takes really exceptional listeners to wake up on a Sunday morning this early when we're told by not only the radio industry but everybody else, you actually have a radio show at that time on a Sunday morning? Well, who's up to listen to it? Well, the audience is, and it's a large audience, and it's been an unbelievable audience from the very beginning. When I put together the intro for this week's show, I heard some of the people that used to call in to Bob specifically into his answering service. The people are remarkable. I am so humbled just by the audience who tunes in and listens to this program.
Hello.
The really exceptional...
Just hold on a second, caller.
The really exceptional listeners are those who actually donate to CKLN through this program. They've really said, I love this program, I enjoy listening to the International Connection, and I've decided to give money to community radio through the International Connection.
Good. That's what I did. Sorry, hello? Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, this is Randy, the Russian Square.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that I've been proudly waving the Russian flag all weekend at Wakefest.
That's red.
I have cycling jerseys from Russia. I sold two to some comrades.
Oh, maybe not.
And I just want to tell Andy that he should come on down.
Where are you again?
No. Toronto Island.
You were waving a Russian flag?
All weekend long.
Well, what was
at Wakefest.
Wakefest?
It's all... It's kids in the water.
Okay.
Could I bring the Russian bear over today?
Here. I have a dedication for you. I have a dedication for you.
All right, well, this is it just you doing this, or are there lots of people there?
There are many comrades that don't like to wear the CCCP.
They don't like to wear it?
No.
I know.
But they're ashamed?
They're getting jeered.
Yeah, that's wrong. Well, do you mean that means...
Come on over today, and everyone who wants to come over, they're aware of the CCCP.
Yeah.
The password to get into Wakefest this afternoon is... Are you ready?
Yeah.
Wakey.
Okay. And where it...
Bring the bear, Eddie.
And where is this again? Give us the...
Toronto Island. What you do is you take one of the Toronto ferries.
Yeah.
And be careful. They have ferry rules.
Oh, about flags?
And Russian bears.
Okay. Yeah, we know about that.
We could somehow get him over to submarine. We have a U-boat.
So that means that basically the Russian bear has to put on a different accent.
No.
Oh.
No, they'll be looking for that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try and
all
make
right.
it. The weather looks like it might be a bit inclement.
Well, I'm here to tell you, I've been here since Tuesday setting up, competing. There are 31,000 American women here. They all
Whoa.
Need to be converted to the C3P.
Well, that's nice.
Hey, I have to go now.
Okay, all right. Bye, thank you.
Here's a dedication to all those on the Toronto Island. Here we go. Soviet National Anthem. For the last time. Should we stand, Greg? I think we should stand. This is the last time we're going to do this.
Yeah. And we actually got a Toronto police guy to do this.
Yes.
He sang it. He sang it and put his hand over his heart.
Yeah.
He may not have been kidding.
I feel inspired by this studio, Greg. I'm looking around, and I know this will all be gone. Like, we're never going to see this with our eyes again.
I know. I have to say, I'm kind of sad.
I am too. Like, I'm never going to see this studio again.
When I've been kind of dreading it, really, you know?
I have too.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to leave. I was thinking of petitioning Ryerson just to leave us here every Sunday morning.
Yeah, this should be a museum.
Yeah.
We rip out our history in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, all this stuff should just be left here.
Yeah. Like, and plastic put over everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never see these stickers again sticking on the wall.
And the posters.
No.
And the scrapes on the wall.
No. And all the stickers that they tried to get off and couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't. All the scraped off glue.
Yeah, it's just taking way too long to get it off.
And the shimmy and shine marker on the door. I can read it from here. Marker on this door inside the interview room. I can see people have left their signature.
Really? Shimmy and Shine is there?
Yeah, Shimmy and Shine is right there in the middle.
Really?
I can see in the middle. I just looked over. And Aaliyah. And,
hold on, there's someone on the... CKLN, you're on the air.
Hello, Greg and Daniel. How
Hello.
Are you guys doing this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Good, well, congratulations. I just wanted to call in and say hello to all the listeners and all the longtime International Connection people out there that are tuning in. I do hope you guys have someone taking some sort of video or recording of this moment.
There's no recording.
There's audio recording, but
there's
no video.
There's going to be an audio recording. We didn't. We were unable to bring the International Connection video camera for reasons.
If you want to see the CKLN studio, we did take pictures a few months ago of this old studio. So if you go up to accessofevilradio.com, you can see a tour, a pictorial tour.
Yeah, Daniel did an excellent video tour, or
we did video tours too.
Photographer tour and a video tour. We did one with Andy.
Andy took us on tour. So go on the website. We've kept a certain sense of nostalgia to this place by retaining the images of this place.
Had you ever heard of CKLN, Daniel, before I did this show?
No.
It's amazing that this station is so obscure in Toronto. It's shameful, really.
You know,
you'll talk to people in the radio business. They've never heard of CKLN.
Yeah.
How is that? This is one of the best stations
ever
on the air
in
Toronto. It's certainly the best one now. I mean, hands down, we're the most diverse. It's
interesting to listen to.
It's really a great station all in. And to think that people in Toronto have no idea it even exists. But yesterday we were at the Bill Graham picnic.
No, George
Slitherman.
The Ontario Health Minister.
Right, we were at his picnic trying to harass him.
Yeah.
And not doing a very good job of it, but Daniel did some good work. Mm. But there was this young woman there. And I asked her what her favorite station was, whether she'd heard of CKLN. She said, no.
There's the end, Greg. There's the end.
Yeah. Oh, you're still there, caller. Sorry.
Can we sit down now?
Yeah, we can sit down. Okay.
That was new. I mean, you guys would normally talk over the callers, right?
So, so how long have you been listening to The International Connection? Or how long have you been listening to CKLN?
Well, a couple of years, that's for sure. And your show was definitely the one that I started tuning into. I was fortunate enough that you guys invited me on at one point.
It's Steve. Daniel.
Oh, okay.
I should have recognized the voice,
yeah,
but because you're up on our website.
Yeah, I know.
You've been immortalized, Steve. Do you realize that?
You know, if I had figured out who that DJ is, that picture that you put up is some American radio DJ.
We have no idea. If you want to have it replaced with your picture, we'll gladly do it.
Well, I've been thinking, you know, this past week, I think a lot of listeners have the kind of love-hate relationship with your show that you guys all probably have. Like, Greg probably has with Tanya Kim, and Daniel has perhaps with Bob Dobbs. I don't know.
Bob and I are good friends.
No, I mean,
Bob is listening right now, Steve. He's actually on the other line.
All right, well, yep. We better get to the real action. I just wanted to say hello and say wish you guys the very best of luck in the new studio. That video you guys did put up on the web was awesome. Some of the best independent film I think we've seen in the city in the last little while.
Did you like that?
The last scene was brilliant, I must say.
Yeah.
Climbing up the wall.
You never realized that was so
athletic.
Greg.
I mean,
yeah, I know. You never realized I was so athletic. I didn't realize I was so athletic.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to do around here or what you're going to be called to do. And when Daniel said, look, we need you to climb that wall, I brought in a special crane to photograph you, and you've got to climb the wall, or else bringing the crane is absolutely useless to us, I said, okay, I'm going to do it.
And you did it.
Is he gone? Is Steve gone? Steve must be gone.
Oh, thank you, Steve,
for
your phone
call.
That
was Steve Reimer, by the way.
He's a friend of ours from CIUT.
He's a friend of ours who used to do a program at CIUT, and I was on his program. He kindly invited me on his program, and he's been on our show. And I should say that Steve is a very good sport. He's got a good sense of humor, and we thank him for that.
And he's one of our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for listening. Very, very nice of you to do that. You're on the air, CKLN.
Good morning, my brothers. Peace, love, and much respect to you all.
Well, we have a tremendous amount of respect for you, Colin. I think I have that right, don't I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is a man who is...
He's a listener to the CKLN.
It goes far beyond our program. This man is not only a listener to CKLN, but he's one of CKLN's major benefactors, and I want to thank you for that, Colin.
You're much welcome, my brother, and I congratulate you on your big move. I know you're ending one relationship, and you're going to be starting a beautiful new one.
This was
the dungeon to the skyscraper.
Yeah, this was a very long...
And I wish that you continue the good work. You know, I spoke with someone who is a volunteer down there in Funfest, down at your station there, and she said, you listen to those crazy guys? But, you know, she was saying it in a very nice, happy, loving way, you know, laughing. Yeah. I say, yes, I'm crazy myself. But I enjoyed your program very, very much, and I'll continue to do so, and I know you'll continue to do even better work, and I look forward to hearing you from your new digs and also coming over there to see the place. I'm sorry I'm not well, and I wanted to get over there and take some pictures of the old digs. But anyhow, they'll live on in my memory because I know the place, the setting. I've been down there on many, many occasions. And I thank you very much for your hard work and your commitment and dedication that you've brought to me and to other listeners. And I think you're well listened to on Sunday mornings. I really do, because I speak to quite a few people, and in speaking to them, they tell me that they do listen to you. You have some very interesting topics, as usual. And I wish you all success in your future endeavors.
Thank you, Colin, and your endorsement of us, the show, and the station is important to us. Thank you. Thank you so much, Colin.
Thank you.
Shall I go to commercials, Daniel, and we'll come back? Yeah.